You can say about that.
No.
If you would, please look at Acts chapter 22. I'm going to read 4 or 5 verses here. Acts chapter 22, I want to begin in verse 12. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And we'll stop right there. This is the witness of Paul, the apostle. That's what I want to talk about. This is Paul giving his witness to the Jews in Jerusalem. Now, this is just after the first riot, before the beginning of the second riot, which happens sometimes when you give a testimony toward Christ. Well, they saw him and they thought, some had seen him with a fellow from Ephesus, a Gentile, and they jumped to a conclusion that Paul had brought a fellow not Jewish into the temple. And they stirred up the crowd and that started a riot, and the Romans showed up and they grabbed Paul and Paul asked for permission to address the crowd after they had removed him up some steps out of their reach. And this is what Paul told these Jews in Jerusalem of his conversion, of his coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his witness. Now, it starts off with a fellow named Ananias coming to Paul, where I'm reading. He had a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, but he was a believer. And he came unto me, Paul said, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Paul had already told him how he had seen a bright light. The Lord Jesus Christ had spoken to him. And he had lost his sight. And that voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So Ananias came. Now, why did Ananias came? Why did Ananias come? Excuse me. God sent him. That's the only reason. Ananias didn't want to go. Ananias had heard of this fellow Saul. They were both in Damascus together. Well, Saul was on his way, and then Saul got there. Well, go back to, let's see, Acts 9. Verse 10 of Acts 9 says, There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Ananias didn't want to go to Saul. Lord, I've heard of this guy. His reputation exceeds him. You sure you want me to go there? But the Lord was sure. Now he came and he laid the hand on Saul and he said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And in that same hour, Saul did receive his sight. But that wasn't all, because Ananias had a message for Brother Saul. God had sent that man with a message to this man right here. And Walter said it before, I'll say it now, this is the way God has chosen to do it. He sends one sinner to talk to another sinner. And he said, God, the God of our fathers, hath chosen thee. How you get away from election in this book? There's no way. It's everywhere. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. And once you see it, you're going to start seeing it everywhere. But this is pretty darn plain. Now, there are those who will say, well, this was Saul who became Paul, who was the apostle of the Gentiles, and this is special. And yes, it is special. But every conversion, every regeneration, every gift of life to every child of God is special. He will call his sheep by name, each and every single individual one. The thing that got me here is that here I am reading this, and it just hit me. This is where Ananias starts. Because if you listen to some people who believe election, who say they believe election, say, well, that's just something you don't really emphasize. You don't have, why, please don't start there. Ananias wasn't listening. Because Ananias was saying, thus saith the Lord. Actually, that go back to Romans 9, one more, or Acts 9, one more time. Just for a second here. After he said, I don't really want to go because this guy is really bad. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go thy way. What? For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way. God started with the fact that Paul was chosen. So where did Ananias start? With the fact that Paul was chosen, right? The God of our fathers. Paul wrote later in Galatians 1, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. The actual Greek word chosen here is used twice in the New Testament. Once it's translated as chosen, the second time it's translated as make. I like that. Because God has chosen his people and God is making his people. And if you really want to come down to it, the actual facts of the matter are, as to the choice, you don't get one. You don't make one. Jesus Christ told his apostles, you didn't choose me.
Right.
I chose you.
Right. That's right.
And that's what he meant.
Yeah.
He meant, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Saul didn't choose Jesus of Nazareth. Saul was on his way to Damascus to punish some people who believed in Jesus of Nazareth. He wasn't seeking after Christ. But he was chosen by the God of their fathers. He was chosen by the Father above. He was chosen from before the foundation of the world. And that's where Ananias starts talking to Saul. Get this in your heads. This ain't about you. It's about God. It's about His glory. It's about His purpose. It's about His plan. It's about His covenant. The covenant between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, not the covenant between you and Him. Saul of Tarsus was chosen. But Ananias kept on. That thou shouldest know his will. Just the word that there. That word that reveals a purpose for being chosen.
Right.
See, we're not chosen and left on our own. We're not chosen and regenerated and left on our own. I talked about it last week. I'm going to bring the blind, and I'm going to lead them in paths, and I'm going to make things straight that are crooked. Paul, Saul, here, found out that God's choosing always has results. From beginning to end. It's His will with which we need to be concerned. Walter talked about that. Now we have a will. Paul was working his own will on his way to Damascus. And quite pleased to do so. Proud of being deputized by the chief priest. Happy to go and persecute Christians. Believers. Our brothers and sisters. They were his brothers and sisters, but he didn't know it. Man has a will, and it's just as depraved as his heart, and as desperately wicked as his heart. And man knows his own will, and he's pretty content with it. But it has been given to us to know his will. You've been chosen that. You should just know his will. Because His will is the only will that matters.
Amen.
His will is the only will that counts. I know I'm not saying anything good about man again. I don't know why. It just keeps coming out that way. It may have something to do with thus saith the Lord. Oh, Jacob, thou red worm, you know. You maggot. But God hath chosen that thou shouldest know His will. What is His will? John 6 and verse 37. These are the words of Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. This is what Christ says. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Those are the words of Christ about the Father's will. And you, as believers, get to know that. Are able, given the revelation of this, the Word of God, spoken by the Son of God about the Father's will. And this is what the world will not hear. God has chosen you that you should know His will. And this is it. Of all that the Father gave to the Son. What's that? That sounds like a covenant. That sounds like an agreement that they left us out of. His agreement between the Father and the Son. All that he hath given me shall come to me. And all that he hath given me, I'm going to raise up. All that he hath given me, I will not cast out. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Father's will and the Son's will are exactly the same. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. In deity, in purpose, and in will. How do we know that? Well, just like Saul of Tarsus was chosen to know his will, so are you, if you know him. And see that just one. And see that just one. You must see it. I'm not talking about physical sight. Because I remember years ago, Walter, one of those tapes that we got from Henry Mahan. And it hit me, and it hit me hard, and it stayed with me. Our salvation is not in doctrine. Our salvation is not in knowledge. Our salvation is in a person. It's in him. And if you don't see him, you don't know him. How do you enter the kingdom of God? How do you see the kingdom of God first? You must be born again. You must be born from above to even see the kingdom of God. How do you see the Son? You must be born from above. How do we enter? You're born of the water and the Spirit. Whose work is all that? It's His. It's His. You were seeking Christ. Each and every one of you that believes Christ. Now, you are seeking Christ just as much as Saul of Tarsus was. But God reveals himself to his people. He reveals his will and he reveals himself. And we do, with spiritual eyes, get to see the Son and believe on him. And you get to see him because you've been chosen. Just like you get to know his will. Saul saw him because Saul had been chosen. Saul saw him and believed. You know how you can tell? Saul did exactly what Christ told him to do. He told him to go on to Damascus and wait for one who'll come and tell you what to do. I think God had already planned to send Ananias there before Saul ever got there. Saul saw him and believed him. But there are those who hear and see with their natural ears that will not comprehend, will not believe. Because just before what I read in John 6, he says in verse 36, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." How does one such as Saul, such as you, truly see him? It is the gift of God. It is to be born of the will of God. It is to be born from above. It is to be chosen and then brought in, brought to life. Saul of Tarsus was chosen to know his will and to see him. And so is every believer. The next statement, "And shouldest hear the voice of his mouth." Now, if my voice is the only voice you hear, you're in trouble. I'll speak the truth as best I can, but my voice can't help. It's his voice that gives sight to the blind eye. It's his voice that gives hearing to the deaf ear. It is his voice, Jesus Christ's voice, that raises the dead. And you don't even have to look at Lazarus for that. Although you can. When he said, "Lazarus," Lazarus came to life. And when he said, "Come forth," Lazarus came forth, even though he was still bound in grave clothes. But in John 5 and verse 24, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Verse 25 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, he's not talking about literally dead people there. He's talking about those dead in trespasses and sins. Because a couple verses on beyond that, he says, there's going to come a time when the dead in the grave are going to come up at his command. Jesus Christ is the voice of God. And you will hear him or you will not live. He speaks and the light was divided from the dark. He spoke and the sun and the moon and the stars shone and shine. He speaks and the dead live. He speaks and those that live believe. And he speaks and his sheep follow. You hear his voice, you're going to follow him. And Saul was chosen to know his will, to see him, and to hear his voice. But there was a purpose for that. "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Walter, I can't tell what I don't know. I can't. But we are to be witnesses of him, of what we have seen and what we have heard, what we have read, what we have heard of him. Saul was to be a witness to men, and we are all to be witnesses of men. We witness to each other. I like talking to you people. I like listening to you people. I enjoy it.
because it is a blessing that the world doesn't know of listening to people who know Christ talk about Christ. People who love Christ to talk about Christ. You don't get that in most churches. I'll just say it flat out. There are guys huddled in the corner talking about the stock car race or the football game. There are women talking about cooking. And we talk about some of that stuff too. There's nothing wrong with it. But then you'll get on it and we'll start talking about Christ. And we bear witness to each other that He is God. And that we know Him and we love Him. And I love that. It's a blessing to my soul. It's a blessing to my heart. And it is a wonderful blessing to my brain sometimes. Because I get caught up in the things of the world. Because you're in it. You're working in it. You're living in it. You're living next door to it. But coming here, we get to talk to each other. But Paul was to witness what he had seen. He'd seen Christ. He had seen the Son of God. And what he'd heard the voice of the Son of God. God manifest in the flesh, raised from the dead. Saul had heard he had been persecuting God. He had been persecuting Jesus. That is one of the most amazing things to me, and this is something that you really don't normally hear. Here's this man, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, studying the word of God at the feet of Gamaliel, whoever he was. He was supposed to be a really good teacher. I don't know. It's okay. But he was studying. He was considered a Pharisee by other Pharisees. He was given permission by the chief priest to go and do this. And when God spoke to this man, he said, "Who are you? You mean religious people don't know God?" That's exactly what I mean. That is exactly what I mean. This world doesn't know Him at all. They know a Jesus, but it's not Him. They know a Christ, but it's not this Christ of God.
Yes.
And if he confronts them, they'll, "Who are you?" "I said that. I didn't know who he was." That's the way this world still is. Churches are full of people who don't know the one that Saul was persecuting, just like Saul didn't know him. They're full to the brim and overrunning into the parking lot and on television and on radio and on the internet. It's everywhere. There is an overwhelming lack of knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how do I know that? Because of what they say they've seen and they've heard. It doesn't agree with this. It's wrong. It's a lie is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a lie. It is wrong, but it's a lie. And just because you believe a lie, don't make it so. My dad used to tell me that. Just because you think something doesn't make it so. No, but if this book says it, it is so. And if they speak not according to the law and the testimony, there's a reason. There's nothing in them. There's no light. There's no life. There's no love. There's no Christ. But Paul spoke of what he saw and what he heard, and that is what we are to do. That's what I'm trying to do here now. But it goes just for each and every one of us in our lives. Talking to people at the hospital, David. Talking to people at work when you get a chance. I'm not talking about sticking your finger in somebody's face and pointing it out. No, because then I'll end up getting a finger stuck in my face and I deserve it. But there is a purpose for our lives here, right now. And that's what we're seeing here. God has chosen. And He's chosen that you should know His will. And He's chosen that you should see Christ.
Yeah.
And He's chosen that you should hear His voice. And He's chosen that you should be a witness.
Yeah.
Be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you.
Yeah.
To anyone that asks. I do recommend waiting for them to ask sometimes. You can put out a comment. I've done it. And people will just flat ignore it. And so I go on. If there's no interest, there's no reason to talk.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Earl told me that 30 years ago, and I just now have come around to really believe in some things. Earl would say, yeah, do you have an interest in this, or are you just wanting to chew the fat? Do you have an interest, or are you just wanting to pick a fight? But some people just want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will confess, it depends upon what kind of mood I'm in. Saul was to witness to others of the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, those things which he has seen and heard. And that's what we're supposed to do. Saul was to be one of those sinners, Walter, telling other sinners that they're sinners. And I thought about this in relation to what I preached last week. And you'll read it in his epistles. Saul was ashamed of what he had done.
Yes.
He was. He told us about it. He wrote about it. But he wasn't bragging. Not on that. This is what God has chosen us for. Last week I talked about the blind. It wasn't in that scripture as far as why he was leading those blind, why he was leading them in paths they didn't know, by a way they didn't know. It's because God hath chosen. And God's choice always has His express results. He did a bunch of stuff for us, and He's doing stuff to us, so that we shall be His witnesses unto all men of what you have seen and what you have heard. That's what we're here for. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and this place. Most of all, thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has arrested us, stopped us from doing our will and going our way, and brought us into His fold. Thank you. In His name we pray. Amen.